continuing with our good three, who are at this moment quoting Marx. The modern history of capital dates from the creation in the 16th century of a world embracing commerce and world embracing market. This market has given an immense development to commerce, to navigation, to communication by land. This development has, in its turn, reacted on the extension of industry, and in proportion as industry, commerce, navigation, railways extended, in the same proportion the bourgeoisie developed, increased its capital, and pushed into the background every class handed down from the Middle Ages. And that's unquote from both Capital and the Communist Manifesto. And I just commented that this is what I mean by unleashed greed. But I am searching for a good metaphor to help explain why that's a con. Most welcome if you can come up with one and share, because it is we who do this, and yet power that takes the credit. And that con, that propaganda has been so embedded in our heads, primarily by the left, by the official, I should say, left, the professional left, has driven, with Marx's help, driven that notion into our heads that somehow without these guys doing it, we would not have been able to be innovative at all. That is so wrong and so backwards and upside down, so twisted. I'm searching for a way to so that we could see that clearly. Continuing with our good three. This was not a mere matter, this unitary formation of this unitary world embracing market. This was not a mere matter of trade relations between sovereign states. Rather, the developing bourgeoisie, and they're quoting Marx again, compels all nations on pain of extinction. And I'd forgotten until my comment, brief interjection, I've forgotten until they brought that quote back that Marx and Engels drew on that biblical quote as well. I'd associated you will be compelled to come in with the Bible. And I had forgotten that that they were moved by that, they were that grabbed them as well. Is synchronicity a right way to think of it? I guess what I'm trying to say is it is suggestive that the correspondence between Christian ideology as it was appropriated and promulgated or continuously put out there, propagated, that there is a correspondence and a compatibility between certain aspects of Christian ideology and class ideology. Let's start over here. Rather, the developing bourgeoisie compels all nations on pain of extinction to adopt the bourgeois modes of production. It compels them to introduce what it calls civilization into their midst, i.e., to become bourgeois themselves. In one word, it creates a world after its own image. And unquote from the Communist Manifesto. And my comment, while recognizing this vampiric nature of power, it seems Marx never felt any interest in the spiritual implications for we the people of this tendency of power to turn us into it. And that is that metaphor that was updated in the series of films, The Matrix, in which the Mr. Smith virus replicates by turning us into it. The world, continuing with anti-systemic movements, the world so created was characterized by a highly stratified structure of domination and had more than market interests as subjective grounds for collective action. And they are, I think, they're quoting, they're going to give us a quote from the Communist Manifesto, but I think they're being generous. I think what they're claiming is illustrated by what they just said is not really illustrated by what they just said. Because if Marx, we can only wish that Marx and Engels had, in fact, thought more about those structures of domination that get created in our heads by the imposition of hierarchy, of the insiders and the outsiders and the citizens and the barbarians. Yes, they use that those terms, but they are thinking only in an economic sense rather than the sense in which our good three are referring to it. They're saying that more than market interests became grounds for collective action. And I think that's not reflected in Marx and Engels. But anyway, the quote is, just as from Marx and Engels, just as it has made the country dependent on the towns, so it has made barbarian and semi-barbarian countries dependent on the civilized ones, because they're actually using those words as if they're legitimate. Nation, whereas we see them as propaganda, as ideology, derived at least from Plato, but certainly from Plato. Nations of peasants on nations of bourgeois, the East on the West. And that's from the Communist Manifesto. And unquote, also from anti-systemic movements. Marx went looking for capital. We and Rosa and Kropotkin and Bakunin are looking for power. Marx is looking for laws that capture the trajectory of the accumulation of capital in order to prove that trajectory ends in our freedom. He needed to prove it. Isn't that suggestive of the abandoned child mindset, the need to seek approval and the need to prove that one is right are intimately tied. And this is so alive all around us because it's about class. And it has been alive around us for 10,000 years, this need to prove one's worth and escape slave status. That is the mindset from which we are freeing ourselves right now. It's an exciting moment. I think it's worth a little extra effort to start these conversations. And I hope I've been of some help in providing some tools, some means, some ways into the root, into these conversations, into the notion that it is time now to end 10,000 years of class. We got to bring that up because that's amazing. That is world historic. There you go. That's our historic mission to end 10,000 years of class. Now, that's an historic mission I can get into. Well, maybe not. I don't want any of this to seem like it's a legitimation of a propagandistic notion of history. I'm with Karl Popper there. We can we have no use for historicism of any kind. What we do have use for is human agency, and our ability to grow continuously, our love for each other, our human nature to share and give and be generous and cooperative and live in peace and good fellowship.